Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and this is tape number 20 regarding life. Let's go up to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to bless the service. Heavenly Father, Lord and God, we thank and praise your holy name for these messages. We thank you, Lord, for opening up hearts, minds, and souls to receive them. Do the same now, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we give you all the praise, the honor, the glory, and the thanks in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, let's begin.
Eating and drinking in the New Testament. Eating and drinking is the main thought in God's spiritual business.
All right. The entire Bible is about primarily the main thought or the theme or the concept is eating and drinking. From the book of Revelation back to the Garden of Eden. From Eden to the end of the book of the Bible, the entire book. Okay, then let's go.
Eating and drinking Christ is the most important thing if we are to deal life according to the purpose of God.
Now, the Lord never came into the world to bring us a religion, nor did he come into the world to bring us a cult, but he came here for us to eat and drink. Okay? He didn't come in to give us doctrine, but he came in to be food and drink for us. All right, let's go.
Eating and drinking Christ being the most important business of God, for the only way to get life is not only in the Old Testament, but it is in the New Testament as well. The commandment of eating and drinking Christ begins at the very beginning of the Bible in Genesis and continues on until not only the end of time, but throughout eternity, Revelation 22:2.
All right, it tells us that we, heaven, in eternity, will still be eating and drinking. There's the river of life there, and also the trees on each side of the river. Okay, then what?
To take care of God's business, we must know him.
And we must, to know him, we have to consume him, eat and drink him. Then what?
He never has presented himself to mankind as a kind of religion or cult, but he always has, from the beginning, presented himself to mankind as food and drink.
So there's anybody that thinks it's a religious thing to do or to be in some kind of a close-knit cult, that's wrong. This right there proves that we're not a cult. We're doing what the Lord said to do. We're eating and drinking him. Amen?
Amen.
Otherwise, we're not alive. You're a nothing, a dead religion, a dead cult. But we're born again, spirit-filled, eaters and drinkers of the Lord. All right, then what?
If we thoroughly read the scriptures spiritually, as we must if we want life eternal, we will see that the main thrust in the New Testament for our life in Christ is eating and drinking.
Just as it was in the old, and just as it is in eternity. Nothing else is important. We're not called to do good or evil. We're just supposed to drink and eat the Lord. Because if the Lord is in you, he'll do the right thing. Amen?
Amen.
He's not going to do evil, and he'll only do good. But the Lord wants us mortified, dead. So we're not to do good or evil. We're supposed to just let the Lord take total control of our life. And we're supposed to be mortified, dead. Okay, what else?
Focusing on eating and drinking of Christ in the New Testament is the main theme to focus on.
Right. What else? What else is there? So anybody that says that's too simple and really believes that it's too simple to believe, you won't be in heaven. You're going to be in hell because that's all it's all about. The Lord said it in the 6th chapter of John. Then what else?
The gospel is a feast.
It's a feast. Amen? Jesus has the table spread. Amen?
Amen.
The Word of God, this Word of God by the Spirit is a feast. But it's like dead otherwise. Then what?
Jesus likens the gospel of God to a marriage and wedding feast, a magnificent supper prepared by a king, God, for his son, Christ. Matthew 22:1-14. Thus the gospel is God's table spread, filled with food and drink for us to eat and drink and enjoy.
Right. They went.
In Luke 14:16 through 17, again, Jesus shows us that the gospel is like a grand dinner. God is the certain man who sent his servant to tell all who are invited, come, for it is now ready. Verse 17. From before the foundation of this world, God has prepared a full salvation for all who will come to the river to eat and drink this huge, magnificent dinner. We come to the dinner not to be...
Or feast, and then what else?
We come to the dinner not to be taught, not for knowledge.
The dinner or feast, okay. Then what else?
But we come to eat and drink Christ, so we may know Christ to enjoy him.
Right, what good is it to know Christ? I mean, what good is it to just know the scriptures if you're not enjoying Christ, if you don't fellowship with him? Then what?
At the beginning of our salvation, we began eating, drinking, and we were filled full of delightful enjoyments.
Right. When I first got saved, I remember that I was really filled, and I was happy, really happy, and content. Then what?
If we continue our salvation at the river and at the tree, the Lord will continuously set a feast before us. After I was saved, no one told me anything about eating and drinking, but I knew that Christ, my food and drink, was within me.
Right, I had a sense that Christ was in me, and that I was full of joy. I was content. Read that again.
After I was saved, no one told me anything about eating and drinking.
No, they didn't. Because there was nobody around that was even saved around me. Okay? Sue wasn't around me. And I looked everywhere. I was saved, and I had a sense that I had Christ in me, and that I was eating and drinking, that I was filled. Then what else?
But I knew that Christ, my food and drink, was within me, and I was really filled with enjoyment.
That was a happy, very happy time. For God's sake, to know that here I was one of the most, if not the bitterest person I ever knew. And here I'm full of happiness now, and joy, and enjoyment. Because I had the Lord. Then what?
It was so filling, so full of spiritual vitamins and nourishing minerals and refreshment. I was eating and drinking. I was being watered and filled. This is what happiness is all about. But soon after this first experience, I began to care for teaching or knowledge only.
Right, I really got into being a scholar. And there's nothing wrong with it as long as, because that's good, as long as it's in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Because you have to keep filling yourself some way. And so all these things are good. And work is good too. The Bible says if we don't work, we don't eat. But it has to be His work. All right? Of course we have to work to support ourselves. Of course we have to work to make money to pay our bills. But we have to do, more importantly, the work of the Lord. And it has to be spiritual. We even have to know from the Lord what kind of work it is that He wants us to do. But we're not to dwell on it. We have to keep eating and drinking the Lord. Otherwise, He'll say to us on the final day, depart from me, you wicked. I never, 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 ever knew you. Okay, then what?
I became filled with the teachings, but within my soul I felt empty.
Right. You can read the Bible all the time. Don't you feel empty sometimes when you're just studying? Don't tell me you haven't been there. Okay, I can tell that a lot of people are empty, all right? Then what else?
Christianity by the letter is a religion filled with teachings.
Yeah, that's all this the major amount of Christianity I see today is just teachings. And most, I would say at least, I don't know what the percentage would be, but most of it is just false teaching. Okay, then what?
I personally felt empty. The desire of the Lord is to recover His gospel as a real living feast.
Right. So if you're not feasting on the Word, if there isn't a hunger and thirsting in you for the Word, then you're not feasting, you're just dying, becoming more and more dead and bored with the Word of God because you're reading it by the letter. All right, then what?
The gospel is a feast where all things are ready and we are to simply come to eat, drink, and enjoy. The whole concept of the whole Bible is eating and drinking Christ in order that we may feast on Christ. In Luke 15, when the prodigal son returned, the father told his servants, slaves, to put the best robe on him, a ring on his hand, and sandals on his feet. Verse 22.
Go ahead, read it.
But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet.
Then what?
For his body there
was... The original writing says sandals. Then what else?
For his body there was the robe.
Yeah, so to cover his body, there's a robe. To save his soul is the robe. We have to be covered in the blood of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Then what? We have to be shod with the gospel, right? The sandals. Okay, we have to have something to signify that we're a son of God, and that's the ring on the finger. Okay, then what?
For his hand was the ring, and for his feet the sandals. These items signify the Father's outward justification through Christ.
So we're not justified to enter heaven. We're not qualified to enter heaven until we've been washed in the blood, and that we're a son of God. There's signification is the ring, and we're shod with the gospel. And the whole body is covered with the blood. That qualifies us to begin eating and drinking. Okay, then what?
However, this outward clothing was not sufficient to meet the son's need, since he was starving. He needed food within him. First, his father put the cape on him to make him worthy, which qualified him to enter the Father's house and feast with the Father.
Right, the middle wall of partition was broken down. He saw his son coming up the road, and he ran to him and grabbed him and held him and hugged him and was happy to see him. And all he was worried about was, I wonder if I could get a job with my dad. Working with the rest of the slaves. I'd be happy to do that, but instead he puts a ring on his finger, a cape on him, and shods him very well, and then kills the fatted calf, and they have a party. There's dancing, and there's happiness, and there's joy, and feasting. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's go.
After the outward covering, the father told his slaves, quote, bring the fatted calf, slaughter it, and let us eat and be merry. Luke 15:23. We not only meet the outside covering, but also the inward filling.
Yeah, don't we need to be filled with the Lord?
Yes.
Not to just have the signet of that you're saved, or tell people that you're born again, or give a little testimony now and then, but your testimony is worthless unless it's in the Spirit. Unless there's something inside of you to give to others. Unless there's Christ, and that something is Christ. Okay? The food and drink that you ate and had drunken of. Then what else?
The robe, the ring, and the sandals are the outward covering, the outward side of the gospel, which is good. It is the justification by the blood of Christ.
Right, you're justified by the blood. If the Lord sees the blood, he'll pass over your house. And if he doesn't see the blood, then you're killed. You're still dead. Then what else?
In the observance of the Passover, the blood covered the house. Exodus 12:7.
That was in the Old Testament at the Passover. Okay, then what else?
Under the covering of the blood, the people enjoyed the meat of the lamb. Verse 8.
Right. They ate the lamb while they were standing, fully shod with the staff in their hand and ready to move. Because the gospel gives you the strength to move in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
And the gospel is the feast that the Lord has prepared for us. It's himself. He is the feast. Then what else?
Same thing under the covering of the robe. The prodigal son enjoyed the slaughtered fatted calf with his father.
In the house. Then what else?
This is the inward side, which tells of the inward enjoyment of Christ as our life, our eternal life. Christ is the robe, and Christ is also the fatted calf. Christ is our outside covering, our justification, and Christ is also our inside filling. We should, must enjoy him, the fatted calf, every day, day by day. In the Father's house, we have a feast, a table filled from one end to the other with life. Before the prodigal son came home, he prepared himself to be treated as a slave, laboring day by day for his father, Luke 15:19. But his father did not want his son to labor for him, but to feast with him.
Yeah, that's what the Lord created us for, was to have him in us so that we could have eternal life. He didn't, he just says you can kind of go out there and garden a little bit, just keep the garden, keep it from any satanic thing entering in, is what he meant. But just here's food for you to eat. God represented himself as food, not religion, not a cult, not work, not anything, just eat from the tree of life and drink from this river of life here. That's all I want you to do. And then I'll do, if there's anything to be done, I'll do it in you. All right? Isn't that simple? That's why the Bible, people stumble over the simplicity of the Bible. It's a stumbling block. They figure they got to be somebody big in this world, them alone without Christ. Or they're going to, you know, they're just biding their time until one of these days good fortune will come my way and I'm going to be a big shot. Or, you know, somebody will die and I'll take their place. God will never bless anybody with those kind of thoughts. Amen?
Amen.
One thing I never thought of ever being a minister, it was like a nightmare to me to think of such a thing. I thought I was extremely happy in the just being a impresario, somebody that knew how to do something with something and make it big, something little and make it big. I did not want to be in the ministry. It took me years to even to, when people say, what kind of work do you do? I'd always tell them, well, I'm, you know, in the promotional field. I do marketing, because I'd seen so many phonies in the gospel field that I didn't want to be associated with them. It was like an embarrassment. And some people are looking for some big position in the gospel field other than through Christ. And so I don't know whether the Lord was upset with me because I didn't want to identify with the phonies, but he never really rebuked me for it. And I'd never tell him that, oh, I'm a minister of the gospel. And I see all these people that are nothings in the Lord, and I can tell they're nothings. They're saying, I'm a minister, a son of God, a minister of the Lord. Well, I don't believe them, and I don't think that anyone they're saying that to believes them either. To me, I looked at those Salvation Army people on the street ringing the little bells and begging for money. I thought, my God, if I ever go crazy, I don't want to go crazy that way. That looks so disgusting to me with those trite-looking suits that they had, and here I was in a brand-new Cadillac and pockets full of money, and going to the finest restaurants and clubs and all the different things, and I didn't want to. I thought, my God, that is the worst. Whatever happened to these people to make them think that they could, you know, they look like they really actually like what they're doing? And I thought, they're never going to enjoy the good food that I enjoy, or to drive in a car like this. They look poor and wretched and naked and blind, and here I was the one that was that way. Right? But I never asked for any position, and after I did get saved, the Lord says, listen to your wife, Sue. So I just backed off and just let her do all the preaching, most of it, you know, especially on television, I let her do it all. Never thought to write anything. I just thought that the Lord called me to be the person to make the money, or to show people how to make money and how to build things and everything like that. But then the Lord took Sue and he said, see, the ball is in your hand now. And so I prayed to him that I could write and teach. And he said, okay, I'll let you do it, but you're going to have to stay confined in the house. You won't be able to go out with the brothers and do the things that you really like doing. And I said, don't make me go on television, please. I never, ever wanted to be famous or anything like that. And you want to know something? Those are the ones that God always pushes into something like that because he knows it's not going to go to their head. Anyone that wants to be a big shot is never going to be. Never, ever. Sue wanted to just be a housewife and stay home. She never wanted to preach. And she used to tell me all the time, you stinking coward. She says, please, I'm sick. Why don't you get out there and help me preach? She says, I'm the fall guy. You make everybody think that I'm the culprit, and everybody hates me, but they like you singing your little songs. Now get up there and preach. And I said, I'm not going to. You say way more than I do. You can say more in 5 minutes than I can say in an hour on television, or probably a whole week. I'm in charge of you. I'm the boss. And you have to do what I say, woman, okay? I'm Tarzan, and you're Jane, okay? Now get out there and preach, all right? And so she would, but she really didn't want to. She hated it. She just wanted to cook and be at home and be a homebody, but nevertheless, she did what the Lord told her to do and what I told her to do. Then the Lord took her and put me in a position here that I'm not really crazy about. And there's so many people that want my position, but I know they're not the type that could ever pay the price because they don't even do their own job, a menial job, well. So how could they do a job like this well? This takes a lot of the cross. You have to really carry a cross to do what I do. Okay, and if God would call anyone to do it, I would be the first one to step aside and let him do it. Let you get hits on your life and threats and all those sort of things. Let you, be on call 24 hours a day. And this has been going on for 40 years. Everybody wants to be Moses, but no one wants to go to the king and tell him, let my people go. They haven't got the chutzpah for it. Okay? They don't eat and drink either. They're just looking for some sort of glory. They think it's glorious. Or they're looking for, adoration from people. I'm just the opposite. I don't care anything about what people think about me as long as I know that I'm doing the right thing. As long as I know that it's the Lord telling me to do it. Okay? I could care less what you think about me. And everybody that really knows me knows that's exactly the way I am. Have any of you ever seen me break down and cry because somebody said something evil or thousands of people have said things evil about me? Huh?
Never.
Never. All right. And I never will. Okay? Then what else?
When we come to the home church, we must forget the thought of coming to labor.
Right. You let the Lord do the work, okay? Then it's the work of the Lord, okay? Don't you get it? You say, well, I'm doing the work of the Lord. No, you're not. The Lord does his work. Amen?
Amen.
You're just going along for the ride. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, he's in you, and you're moving as he moves you. Okay, you're a dead sacrifice that is burnt offering on the altar of God. Okay? That's where you're supposed to be. And let the Lord raise you up and do things with you. But then you may not like that being crucified. But the Lord never asked us to like it. He just said, do it. And that's the way it is. And when you do it, you're going to have full enjoyment once you get into that, not a New York state of mind, but in a Christ state of mind. Amen?
Amen.
I would hate to be in a New York state of mind, all right, or in a Harlem state of mind. They're starting that kind of riff in the world now. You have to be in a feasting state of mind to feast on the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
We come to the Father's house for gathering together of we who are the Father's houses, the home church for feasting.
Yeah, well, it's good. You go to church to feast. I mean, I've been to a lot of different churches, and they all go there just to worship the Lord. They don't think about working or anything like that. They go to get something from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You're supposed to go into the Father's house to eat the fatted calf, with it, which is Christ, to get something from the Lord's to eat. Amen?
Amen.
Drink, not to work. Okay, then what else?
In the Father's house there is a table full of food waiting for us to come and feast. Just come to eat and be merry, Luke 15:23.
Yeah, now I'm not saying that you're not supposed to work the works of the Lord, because the Lord does that in us. And if we're eating and drinking Him, we know what sort of thing we're supposed to be doing moment by moment, day by day, every day of your life. Because the Lord is going to judge us by our works. Amen?
Amen.
Did we eat? Did we drink? Was He in us? Did we know Him? Did He know us? And were we in the Spirit to where we knew exactly what He wanted to do all the time? Were we not filled with knowledge, but with the Spirit of the Lord to know what it was that we were to obediently be doing? Okay, then what?
The Lord Jesus will be satisfied, the Father will be happy, and we will be filled. We all need such a feast, a continuous feast.
Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. Lord bless you and keep you. Praise the Lord.